Hello and welcome to Healthy Mind, Healthy Life with your host Avik. This podcast is all about exploring the latest research, sharing personal stories and providing personal tips for improving our mental health and well-being. Each episode will be joined by experts in the field of mental health as well as individuals who have experienced the transformative power of a healthy mind firsthand. Together, we will dive into a range of topics from managing stress and anxiety to building resilience and cultivating happiness. So, join us on this journey to discover new ways to take care of our minds, bodies, and souls. And let's work together to create a healthier, happier world one episode at a time. So, let's get started. Hello and welcome to Healthy Mind, Healthy Life. I'm your host, Avik, and today we are joined by Linda Hugilo. Welcome to the show, Linda.
So great to be here, Avik.
Lovely, lovely. So Linda, like before we start our conversation today, I would love to mention this to all of our listeners that Linda is a speaking confidence coach and author of Delight in the Limelight. Yes. So she helps individuals transform their fear of public speaking into confidence and drawing from her journey and the expertise. So get ready for the insights and the practical tips to embrace the limelight with the joy today. So welcome to the show again, Linda.
Thank you. Thank you. Great. Would love to share with the listeners about how they too can learn to love the limelight, even if speaking in public is something they hate to do right now.
That's great. So to start with, like if you can share a bit about your personal journey, like with overcoming the fear of public speaking.
I was somebody who was pretty silent until I was about 20. I then joined a women's world music group and was on stage and for some reason felt okay about moving. I was a dancer. I felt comfortable moving. I felt comfortable singing, even though I always felt I was a remedial singer. Somehow I ended up in the singing group, but I'd never really sung a lot as a kid. So I had a lot to learn, but somehow being in the group, I had confidence, but I hated having to introduce a song from the stage. And it was something that our director wanted each of us to be able to do for people to hear our actual speaking voices. And because I was a dancer in the group, I would do what I could to avoid it. Later on, I became, with movement, I became a teacher and I led a lot of movement classes. But in hindsight, I remember that every single class, I would have heart palpitations, no matter how familiar I was with the material that I was going to share with them and the plans for the class, I always felt anxious. And I just thought, well, that's how I am. That's just how I am. Fast forward to when I became an online entrepreneur, I decided about 9 years ago to become a life coach. And I took a course, built a website, and then I needed to get customers. So I decided to live stream. There was the very first live streaming app, Periscope, that came out. People said it's the best thing that's ever happened. And if you live stream daily, you can build this big following. So I thought, I'm going to do this. I'm going to get on live stream. And it was absolutely terrifying. I thought I was like becoming disembodied every time I press broadcast. It was like I would leave my body. I was hyperventilating. I did my best to like bring myself back into my body and speak coherently, but it was a challenge. But I assumed, you know, I'm nervous now. In a couple of weeks, I'll be fine. I'm doing this every day. Practice will bring confidence. So was doing things to manage my fear before I'd get on. I do deep breathing and power poses and dancing and affirmations and meditation. And I did manage my fear. Every single day, I would spend about 45 minutes to do a 5-minute live stream. And the weeks went by. I got to 10 weeks. I think it was day 75. And I was about to press broadcast. And I went, wait a minute. Why am I still managing my fear? Why am I still having heart palpitations? What's going on? You know, why aren't I feeling more confident?
Yeah.
I was managing my fear. I was getting on every day. I could continue to do that, but I thought, how much longer do I want to have to do this? I just want it out of my life. I don't want to feel the fear. I don't want to have the fear. I want to get over it. So I decided that I was going to devise a plan for me to get over the fear. And I have a master's degree. I have a background in psychology, a master's degree in expressive arts therapy. So I have this, I had a lot of tools. I just didn't think that, oh, I should use the tools I have to get rid of my fear. So I made a whole long list of things that I could possibly do. The very first thing I did was I closed my eyes and I said, if this fear could talk, what would it say? And what came back was a flood of memories, times I learned it was dangerous to be in the center of attention, where I was bullied, shamed, or pressured to perform before I was ready. One specific memory was my mom yelling at my two older sisters, why can't you girls be more like Linda? She puts away her clothes. She does her chores when I tell her to. You should be more like her. Well, of course, this didn't endear my sisters to me. In fact, what happened was that they kicked me and they said, shut up, stupid. And anytime I would like be, even randomly, if I was like singing in the house, they'd say, shut up, Linda. Shut up, stupid. Or they'd hold me down on the ground and torture, tickle me, things like this. Then I realized, duh, of course I don't feel comfortable being on camera or speaking to a crowd because I learned it was dangerous to be the center of attention.
Yeah.
Then I thought, okay, what else? You know, what else is in my past that made me feel like I'm not interesting to listen to? I have nothing to say. Who am I? All of these things that we just cope with and move on from. But the thing is, they don't move on from us. So anyone who has a fear of speaking, whether it's online or in person or networking, if you feel that kind of heart palpitation or disembodied feeling or your dry mouth or the sweaty hands, ask yourself, when did I decide it was safer to hide? So that was my story. So once I realized that I had traumas from the past, I knew I needed to heal them. And I did have tools to heal them. I had something called EFT, emotional freedom technique. A lot of people have heard of that. Creative visualization, where I did reparenting of my younger self. I journaled a lot, ton of forgiveness, not just forgiveness for other people, but forgiveness for myself. Because these times, let's say that mom was yelling at my sisters, I didn't have the resources to handle it in any other way. I didn't have the wherewithal to say to my sisters, I'm sorry that mom says that to you. I think that must feel awful. And I feel awful. You know, I didn't have that maturity. I didn't have that ability to communicate. And I just didn't have a parent who knew how to do it. And my sisters didn't know how to do it. So we were all victims of not having the resources of how to communicate with civility and kindness and understanding. But as adults, we can go back and we can recreate and we can assuage our younger selves and help that the younger you, the younger me, to feel understood and seen and loved and acknowledged and helped to handle the situation in a way that we wished could have happened at the time. And the beauty of it is that when we clear these wounds from the past, we're able to be in the present. Because think about it. Let's say you're speaking in public and you're feeling all of a sudden really anxious, your voice gets shaky. What's happening is that you're getting triggered from things in the past that are keeping you from being present in the here and now. So when you address these things and we heal them, we remove them. And that way that when you're in front of somebody and you're speaking, you're not having anything tug on you. Yeah. Or being pressuring you or occupying your mind or your emotional bandwidth, because it's just not there. So you can be here. You can be in the now.
Got it. So also, like, what are some of the common misconceptions that people have about public speaking anxiety?
Well, I know what I, when I first Googled, how do I get over my fear of speaking? The things I found was feel the fear and do it anyway. So that's like, ignore it, push it away, you know, it, but that's what I tried. So I'd say maybe for a few people that will work because they don't have, it's kind of like a lever. So if you have a lot of things, this is my, what I'm doing for people who are listening on the podcast. I'm like, I have, like a seesaw. And if there are things on one side of the seesaw that are heavy, like that time I was bullied in seventh grade, or my sister's kicking me, or my father saying, I don't think you're ever going to succeed, or someone saying, I'm not interested in that, or no one talked to Linda, or all these heavy things, then what's going to make that seesaw tip to the other side? I mean, you either have to have tremendous, if you ignore it, the seesaw is not going to tip over to the other side. That's why I say that ignoring the fear and do it anyway might happen if you don't have many things on one side of the seesaw. And just by the doing of it and you seeing that, oh, I've survived, I'm still here, people like what I say, I'm getting good feedback, that could be enough over some time to help you overcome it. But if you have too many of these burdens or traumas, or they've just been in, you've identified with them so deeply, you're ignoring the fear is just going to prolong the fear, which is what it did for me. I ignored it all my life, and it lasted until I finally got clued in that I could do something about this. Second thing that people say is reframe it. Pretend your fear is excitement. And I have to admit, when I first heard this, I thought, I love that. That's great. The only thing is, I know how fear feels, and I know what excitement feels like, and the two do not feel the same. Now, it could feel the same if you are a thrill seeker, if you love roller coasters and Ferris wheels and bungee jumping, or, you know, then I can imagine that the sense of fear and the sense of excitement is more alike. But I'm the kind of person that excitement is like going out for lunch with a friend. So the idea of between that and you know, speaking in public, I mean, the two are completely different feelings. So for me, pretend the fear is excitement does not work. Another thing that people may feel is, or have heard, I can't remember exactly what the phrase is, but fear is excitement without the breath. The idea that if we just breathe, that we'll get over the fear. And breathing for sure is one of the techniques to manage your fear, but it doesn't get rid of the fear for the same reason that I mentioned before. It doesn't go to the root cause. So ignoring it doesn't work. Practicing more doesn't work. Reframing it doesn't work. And that doesn't mean that it doesn't work for some people or it doesn't help manage it. I'm saying it doesn't get rid of it.
Exactly. So, I mean, if you can also outline some of the practical techniques or maybe the strategies, I would say, for managing the anxiety and building that confidence before speaking engagements.
Yes. So, you know, I don't have anything against just managing the fear. People are content with just, you know, reducing their anxiety. That's great, because I want people to feel like they can speak. I feel like speaking is our human design. So I do want people to speak, whether or not they choose to take the time to get to the root cause and clear it away, which I think is the easiest. And, you know, it's like a once and for all kind of a thing. But there are things that you can do, just like I mentioned that I did on Periscope to manage my fear. There are many things that they can do. And I know even more things that people can do now. So number one is that we are always mentally rehearsing. And maybe, you know, you talk about this because you're all about positive psychology and mindset. So when you are imagining, oh my God, I'm going to be so afraid. I'm going to mess up. I'm going to, you know, people are going to see how nervous I am. What you're actually doing is you're mentally rehearsing what you don't want. You're mentally rehearsing the fear. What I recommend is for people to mentally rehearse how they want to feel instead. So think about, how do you want to feel? You want to feel loose, relaxed, strong and confident, dynamic, zen. I mean, it doesn't have to be there's no one right answer to this, but think about what you want. And then close your eyes and envision yourself speaking like that, expressing yourself like that, and feeling that way. Imagine you're feeling friendly to the audience and the audience feeling friendly to you. Imagine taking their attention in like a gift. And imagine people afterwards feeling grateful, maybe thanking you for something that you said and feeling that sense of satisfaction that you reached somebody. So I actually have this method of mental rehearsal as chapter 2 in my book. And I put it in chapter 2 for this very reason. Because let's say you've got a presentation tomorrow or next week. You don't have time to do all this deep work, but you want to be able to manage that experience. And I have had people tell me that by doing this visualization for several days in the row made an enormous difference in their ability to present and be more naturally themselves. This alone. However, and by the way, I do have a something called the Speaker Empowerment Kit. That's a free download. That is a mental rehearsals for when you get on stage and when you get on camera and when you have to introduce yourself at a networking event. You know, when you're in a circle and it's going to come to you, everybody gets so nervous. Oh my God, I've got to introduce myself. So mental rehearsal is number one on my list. Other things I would say, if you feel like you've got a shaky voice or that your voice isn't strong, warm up your voice. As a speaker, it's our instrument. Not, you know, you may think, well, singers, of course, they warm up their voices before they perform. But yes, as speakers, we should do too. Because we want to have range, we want to have dynamics, and we want to have strength. Most of all, when you warm up your voice, even if it's like, like just sighs even, and just feel the resonance and let the sound fill the space. Then when you start to speak, you feel like your voice is more reliable.
Mm-hmm.
And it's physically more reliable. I do a chakra meditation for speaking confidence. I love, it's one of my favorite things to do. It just gets me aligned, grounded. It makes me feel open on all levels. I also encourage people to physically warm up their body, just like I did in Periscope. I dance, stretch out, do some yoga, because speaking is a physical experience. And if you're thinking about wanting to take up space, well, that's a metaphor for the actual physical ability to take up space. So take up space with your body, feel the strength in your body, and that will translate for you being more physically embodying the physical expression of confidence. So warm up the body, warm up the voice, chakra meditation, mental rehearsal. What else do we have? Journaling. So I really encourage people to think about, what can they look forward to in this speaking? A lot of people are looking forward to it being over. But I say, no, what can you look forward to and appreciate and be eager for in the speaking experience? And I always recommend that people think of something that they can do as a little growth, a step in their growth. For instance, it could be like a challenge, like I'm going to challenge myself to look into people's eyes, or I'm going to challenge myself to feel my feet on the ground, or I'm going to challenge myself to notice my breath.
Understood.
I'm going to anything. I mean, it can be anything. I'm going to challenge myself that when I make a mistake, which I know I will do, I'm going to handle it with a little humor or poise, or I'm just going to like glide by and not let it bother me. I'm going to challenge myself that if I forget something, I'm not going to berate myself. I'm going to forgive myself fast. So any of these things that we can do to feel like, yeah, I want to utilize and take this opportunity to grow my speaking skills, my skills in being able to be more present, to be the kind of speaker I want to be. And then all of a sudden you say, well, I do look forward to this because I want to try it out. If I don't have it, I can't try this out.
All right. So, how can expressive art therapy techniques contribute to building the confidence and overcoming speaking anxiety?
Oh, I love that question. Thank you so much for asking that, because I do believe that the more experience we get to play around with our self-expression, the freer we become and the more fun it becomes. So, for instance, I have a Comfy on Camera program where I invite people in successive videos to explore different things being on camera. Now, the very first thing that we've got to do is create safe space, because my belief is that we are able to take more creative risks when we feel safe than when we feel unsafe. I don't know what this idea is, like, get out of your comfort zone every day. I mean, maybe it's semantics. It could be semantics. But to me, being inside our comfort zone allows us to take risks. So that's why I like working in a cohort in a private space where we get to explore making sounds. So I have people reading from children's books and have different characters that they talk in, like the elephant and the troll or the little mouse. And this does a couple of things. One is it gets people outside their default way of speaking, and it expands their range of expression so that they can perhaps, I mean, I'm not going to speak like this all the time, but I might use it on occasion. You know, if I'm telling a story and I'm talking about a little kid, I might go like this just to add a little contrast. But if I haven't practiced that, if I've never done that, I would never do it. Another thing that we do is I think about the speaking we do in terms of our delivery as being a tour guide. So the way we emphasize words, the way we slow down or use cadence are all ways that we help the listener know what we feel is important, what we want them to pay attention to. So we play around with sentences. Let's say that sentence, I take up all the space I want. And on this prompt for Comfy on Camera, they will play with that sentence saying, I'll take up all the space I want. I'll take all the space I want. I'll take all the space I want. I'll take all the space I want. And so they go on and on and on for a minute or two, playing around with all the different ways that you can say a single sentence. And then you get to realize, oh my God, every single sentence we ever say, there are so many ways to say it.
Thank you.
And so I feel like that relates to the question that you had, is like, what's the relationship between, what did you say, creative self-expression? Yes. I have people dance. I have people close their eyes and just move their bodies to allow themselves to get comfortable being seen, comfortable being heard, comfortable exploring, comfortable being creative, being witnessed. And what really helps, of course, is that there's no criticism at all. It's a non-judgmental space where people only hear, and for everything they do, they always hear positive reflections of what people enjoyed, what people liked, what they felt meaningful, how they related to it, what they see in the other person that maybe the person doesn't recognize in themselves.
That's very, very true. Yeah. So, what advice do you have for the individuals who may be hesitant to seek help for their fear of public speaking?
Well, you know, there are lots of different ways of doing things. You know, some people want to go through a journey or a transformative journey on their own. Mm-hmm. And in fact, I did my own on my own. You know, I didn't seek help for this. I created my own design. I happen to have a lot of experience in transformative work and healing work, so I did have the tools. But I suggest people get my book. Delight in the Limelight is a total guide to going from the dread to loving it instead, or listening to the first season of my podcast, Delight in the Limelight, is kind of like the Cliff Note version of my book. So you can figure out, well, how do you discover the root causes? How do you go about healing? How do you handle mistakes? How do you heal your self-image? What do you do with the inner critic? How do you, you know, get to a place where you feel like speaking is a peak experience? Yeah. So I've had lots of people who have read my book and they said, oh my God, this was transformative. I mean, even on TikTok just this week, I had somebody who was saying, I've really made a lot of progress in my speaking confidence. And I replied, that's wonderful. Tell me what you've been doing. And they said, listening to your TikToks. So I said, okay, great. So, you know, I think it's mostly that people don't realize there are so many things they can do. You know, they think, I don't feel comfortable speaking, you know, being on camera. I don't feel comfortable speaking in public. That's just the way I am. No, you're not stuck. If there's someplace you're not comfortable, let's find out why. Whether you reach out to someone like me or another speaking confidence coach, or you read my book or someone else's book, take a step. Take some step. Realize that you are on a journey and you will get to where you want to go as long as you have that desire. Okay, so this is where the chakras come in.
Mm-hmm.
Find a place of safety that has to be ultimately in yourself.
Yeah.
You have to have the desire. So I think of that as the belly chakra. I don't know how you probably have many more. I mean, you come from the land of chakras. So pardon me for anything I might have like reinterpreted for myself. But the desire, the strength to pursue it. And that doesn't mean that you have to do it all in 5 days like I did. You could do it in 5 months. You could do it in 5 years. It's like, this is your journey. There's no judgment on how you take it. But if you decide, I'm going to get over this in my lifetime. I mean, I hope people do it sooner rather than later, because I tell you, it's so much better on the other side. So much better on the other side. You'll enjoy yourself so much more. But that's fine. You have your journey. So safety, think about creating a safe space for yourself. That means don't judge yourself. You need yourself to be your staunchest ally, the kindest communicator. Open your heart, have compassion for yourself. Know that you have reasons why you have been afraid, and it's okay. And it's not your fault. You did the best you could. You are doing the best you can. And so is everybody else. Even people you've been wounded from, they were doing the best they could. If they could have done better, they would have done better. Yeah. Allow yourself to open up your throat chakra, relax your throat, massage your throat, love your throat. Be aware. Use your mind to help you with your maturity that you have now that you might not have had earlier in your life. So whether it's seeking out ideas, bringing in your intuition, your awareness, but use your mind to help you. And then, of course, I'm always into opening ourselves to getting guidance from the universe.
Exactly.
And that can be through prayer. That could just be through meditation.
Got it.
Yeah.
Great. So that's really lovely, I would say. And there's a lot of things we have learned today. And so thank you so much for joining this episode, Linda. Like in this episode, we have delved into the transformative journey from dreading the public speaking to embracing it with the confidence and the authenticity. So dear listeners, like Linda shared the invaluable insights and techniques and her personal experiences that can empower anyone to overcome their fear of speaking and truly thrive in the limelight. Always remember that mastering the art of public speaking is not just about delivering a speech. So it's all about expressing your authentic self and at the same time connecting with your people, your audience, or whom you want to discuss about or interact with in a meaningful way. So by applying the strategies discussed today, you definitely can embark on your own journey towards the confident self-expression and unlock the new opportunities to for the personal and the professional growth. So I definitely hope all of you have found this episode insightful and inspiring. But be sure to check out Linda's book, which is Delight in the Limelight, and tune into her podcast for more valuable tips and guidance on the speaking journey. So, Linda, before we leave, would you like to share like how someone wants to connect with you, how they can connect?
Yes, absolutely. We did speak about how to prepare yourself, and I do have a preparation checklist that people can download for free. You can get that at lyndaugelow.com, UGELOW.com/rituals.
Okay, great. Lovely. So, dear listeners, what I'll do, I'll quickly add the link into the show notes so that it will be much easier for you to reach out to her and explore. So, thank you so much again for joining us, everyone. Until next time, embrace the spotlight and speak your truth with the confidence. So, thank you so much.
Thank you, Avik.